Good morning. Today is Monday, September the 11th. Somebody stole the... Oh, there's the clock. joining us this morning from the Humboldt County Office of Ed, because the cat's away, Heidi Moore. Good morning, lady.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay, but, you know, well, I guess I am the cat now. Okay, fair enough. You brought along a buddy this morning, huh?
I sure did. Alyssa Palchek from the California Student Opportunity and Access Program, otherwise known as CalSOAP.
California.
Mm-hmm. Student Opportunity and Access Program. And essentially what that is a wonderful program that supports middle school and high school age youth to be prepared to enter college after high school graduation.
Do they used to call it counseling?
This is a form of counseling, though. Thank this you. Is in yeah. support of the counselors at the high schools. It's okay. Additional tutoring support and academic advising, college advising, et cetera.
I almost got lost there. Our quote this morning comes from Talmud, and appropriate for 9/11. The deeper the sorrow, the less tongue it has. Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's tough with the hurricanes and the fires and stuff going on, but yeah, still 9/11.
Yeah.
How do you, and I know you guys don't get into curriculum too much at the county level, but nonetheless, how do you folks oversee and double check and make sure, or do you, that things like history are taught accurately and things like 9/11 aren't blown off? Or that kind of thing. Is there that oversight on the curriculum or content level as there is with some of the other structural things that you guys work with?
Actually, the county office has a pretty significant role in making sure that our schools and our teachers are utilizing standards-based state board adopted curriculum in their classrooms in all of the content areas, so language arts, math, social science. We actually are in the process right now of what's called Williams visits, which are going into certain selected schools to conduct, if you will, a textbook audit to make sure that those books are in the hands of the students and that the teachers are utilizing them.
So that's the textbooks, but I would think that if a teacher's good, they're really not relying on the textbook too much.
You know, that's such a good point. And it's interesting that the state will quantify appropriate curriculum by the mere nature of a student having access to a textbook. But what we do know, Brian, as you indicated, is that project-based learning, it's referred to as PBL, is one of the most...
PBL is short for problem, right?
Project.
Oh,
project,
okay.
Project. Project-based learning. Or problem-based learning. That's another interesting construct that we try and work with our students on. But essentially, what we know about project-based learning is that students are more engaged, and there's more of an opportunity to connect real-world constructs to the standards that are being taught.
Alyssa, when you're talking with the kids or the teachers or the parents about and beyond, which I guess, you know, it doesn't have a cleanliness reference like soap does, but, you know, and beyond. More of a Buzz Lightyear kind of an approach for me. Do you get into things like the cultures of the various schools that you're suggesting? And if you're looking for somebody who's really engaged in this way or has this kind of a culture, these are kind of the types of schools that you want to be looking for. Is there that environmental or cultural component to any of the discussions with the kids?
You know, I haven't had the opportunity to do much of that yet, but that is something that I would like to include in our senior advising work that we do with the students in AVID classes. So we'll be doing that at Eureka High School and more schools in the future, hopefully.
Okay, I sense another acronym has just popped up its ugly head. AVID?
AVID, yes. It's a technical program for the students.
Yeah, it's an academic program for students that may need a little additional support to be able to complete all of their college preparatory courses. and they receive a lot of college advising, help with completing their financial aid applications or college applications, et cetera. So it's a wonderful program offered at many schools across our county.
So if somebody crashes and burns in a class or just forgets to take the right number of units,
you know,
in one area, that's kind of a way that they can catch up?
Not so much. We really try and do early identification of what we call students of promise. So students that show great potential, but that may need some additional support. So we identify them in our middle schools. And the goal is that they actually participate in this elective class, AVID class, for 4 years. And so essentially they're freshmen through senior year, and they receive targeted support all along the process. So the other students that might have misstepped along the way, there are other interventions and different supports that are certainly available for them, but it wouldn't necessarily look like the AVID program.
I think that was the most common phrase I had in my report cards going to Worthington.
Student of promise?
No. Student, it was student appearing to be achieving below apparent ability. I think they must have made a stamp. They filled mine out in advance for all 6 years.
And look at you now.
Yeah, it's still there. Not like the Scarlet Letter or anything, but kind of, sort of, yeah. So there's a lot of supports that are there for kids if they have the desire and the interest.
Absolutely. And you know, it really starts with the school counselors and then wonderful programs like the CalSOAP program or other local programs, Talent Search, Gear Up.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we come back. It's 8:19.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika Thunder Country 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action all season long. Brought to you on KINS in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Alyssa Palachek and Heidi Moore from the Humboldt County Office of Ed. Alyssa, the concept of school selection based on curriculum and environment and communities of location, I guess. How do those factor into the discussions you have with the kids and with the teachers and with the parents, trying to figure out, I mean, there is a perfect match, or 20, out there for every kid, bringing the pieces together to have the puzzle completed?
Well, I think those are definitely something that factor into the discussions that we will be having with the students. And that is an important aspect. It's probably the first aspect that we are going to be talking about with the students. Those are some very basic questions that are important to know before you begin the college search. So I think it is valuable.
But deal breakers if they're not asked or the wrong answer. Yeah, it's intriguing for me how many people from the coasts will stay on the coasts and never entertain the Midwest, or the Midwest never entertain coming to the coasts. Do you guys have a sense? Is that just a lack of thinking about it? Because certainly there are fine schools everywhere around.
There are. I think one of the biggest factors, unfortunately, is out-of-state tuition. And so essentially it costs more, if you will, per credit unit to attend school out of your own state. And so just by virtue of financing, it kind of forces that for many people. If a student is highly academic and maybe has some amazing extracurricular skill and they're sought after through a scholarship, then potential opportunities open up. And then we will see quite a few of our students going to the East Coast, but almost exclusively on scholarships.
Because how long, I know our, know what used to be in Oregon. I don't even know if it's the case. If somebody was wanting to go to U of O, it was 3 years before you established residency. That seems a little long, but you know, if the goal is to teach kids from Oregon, and that's all you really have interest in, unless you can really jump or can run through cinder block walls, like this weekend, there seems to be a rationalization behind it instead of just throwing numbers out. How varied is it from state to state with the residency requirements? Do you guys have any idea?
You know, it's typically anywhere between a year to 3 years to establish residency. And so some students, if they're very, very interested, say, in going to U of O, might consider going to a community college in Oregon for a couple of years, establishing residency, and then making U of O a more affordable option.
I suppose, Alyssa, that's the kind of stuff that you will be talking with the parents and the kids about, the financial components as well as the curriculum-based stuff, you know, what areas of interest, things of that nature.
Certainly.
How do you rank them?
What do you mean?
Okay, I want, boy, it's just fiction. I want to be a math major. Okay. How do you rank the various math departments in the various campuses in the various states throughout the country? So when I come to my person, whoever they are, say, I want to be a math guy. To get a sense. Okay, I want a math, I want medium-sized community, I want to be challenged, and I don't care if it's a public or a private. Go.
Well, we certainly
How do we start in that one?
We certainly help the students walk through that process and do the research with them. We definitely help them with that aspect. We don't just leave them in the dark. And at the College and Career Expo that's happening on Thursday, September 24th at Eureka High School, beginning at 5:30 p.m. in the EHS Auditorium at 1915 J Street in Eureka.
We all know where it is. Come on. Yeah. I was going to tee you up for the second half of the show. Okay, fine.
There will be over 50 college and career representatives there to discuss things like that with them. So the students have the opportunity to go around and speak to each of these schools at that event.
Now, those are the folks that either see value in coming to little old Eureka or Humboldt County or have the time or the outreach. What about the other schools? I mean, there's certainly a lot more than 50 schools. Is this just a chance for the kids to kind of get their feet wet and figure out a little bit about what's going on before they start making the campus visits and that kind of a on-site visit?
Yes, definitely.
You know, we have some specific workshops, too, that are would support students at any college choice. So, for example, there are workshops in financial aid, understanding NCAA eligibility, which is the athletic eligibility.
Lots of luck.
Yeah, it can be a little complicated.
Just go NAIA. So. It's so much simpler.
Writing your personal statement, which is often required at the UC level or at private universities, et cetera. So a lot of the workshops that are happening at the College Expo on September 21st are really designed to help the student, whether they ultimately choose to go to one of the 50 schools that will be represented or not.
That's okay. You throw an extra did it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And there's also some wonderful software that the state of California has developed that really helps you put in your fields, so those areas of interest and passion. So if you're a math major and you want to stay in a rural context and you don't mind going out of state, you plug in all those variables and it will essentially give you a narrowed
I was wondering
list.
If the tax preparers can go through the tax code, why hasn't somebody come up with something that's just a real simple, and here's 40 to choose from?
Yep.
Boom.
It exists. It's great.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? through the Decade of Difference initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Alyssa Palchek and Heidi Moore from the Humboldt County Office of Ed. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. The concept of looking for information about schools, about communities, I find one of the more challenging areas is to try to find out about a community by going to a Chamber of Commerce website. Yeah, okay, you get all the governmental numbers, dandy, but you don't really get a sense of what the community is like. I think schools probably do a little bit better job than that because they're a little bit more focused on the reason that you're going to that website. But Alyssa, what do you suggest, short of making a road trip for 5 months and visiting all the potential campuses, how does a kid or how does a family develop a sense of what this area is like, wherever the area of interest is?
Well, I think there are a lot of colleges that provide online tours nowadays. So if you take a look at the school's website, say you're interested in UC Berkeley, you may go to their website of admissions and they'd have a tour video. And you could watch that and then ask questions of a representative from the school at the College and Career Expo. Or you could speak with someone locally, like your high school guidance counselor.
Or alumni.
Or an alumni, exactly.
If there's an alumni association.
Yes.
And oftentimes colleges provide student testimonials about such things as the community, the climate, the environment, the weather.
Oh, come on, girl. I want a real shot here, not the PR side.
I'm being authentic.
I go to, let's pick on Lincoln just because the Ducks did so nicely this weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I thought. Rubbing it in.
My slightly.
Alma mater tried. We tried hard.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, at least they're playing fair now. Let's say, okay, someone has never been to Lincoln.
Okay.
Might be able to find it on a map. Might be able to find Nebraska on the map somewhere. Mm-hmm. Okay. But trying to get a sense of, is this a school that I or my kid or grandkid are interested in? Gee, what's the campus feel? What's the community feel? What's the state feel? It's almost like buy a travel book and read about that community or that state or that region and get a sense. I mean, how do you kind of do that? Or is it just choose your top five guys and do a road trip?
It really is a research project, and it's one that shouldn't wait until the last moment. A lot of students feel as though they have to wait until their senior year to begin this exploration. And we really want students to be thinking about it from middle school on, and trying to identify what are their passions, what are their interests, what are their non-negotiables, etc. And like I said, there are some software platforms that school counselors can help guide students through that will help filter their areas of interest and non-negotiables. But as Alyssa indicated, contacting the school directly and speaking with school representatives and asking to speak with student representatives. Oftentimes, outreach offices do have students
that pick up the phone at the other end.
Someone to pick up the phone and have a more authentic, real peer-to-peer conversation.
I was giving you a hard time about the clips on the website.
Yeah, those might be a little more canned.
Yeah.
But what I've seen, so for example, up at HSU, they have great student ambassadors who give real perspectives. And sometimes they are hard conversations, but they're real conversations. And they realize that students, particularly out of the area coming to Humboldt, need to have the information. Otherwise, they won't stick and it won't be successful for the university or for the student. And so I really believe that colleges are investing more time and resources into providing more accurate information about the student experience.
Alyssa, seventh grade is kind of what you'd indicate is the starting line on this thing. So many kids don't know what they want. Are you looking at that point to kind of stirred up a little bit, so they just kind of start the thinking process? Or at that point, do they start eliminating things?
I think it's very important to just keep your options open at that age and begin to explore options instead of eliminating things. When you're in seventh and eighth grade, it's a perspective that you don't necessarily want to eliminate things yet.
Now, is the expo something that seventh and eighth graders would get benefit out of?
If they'd like to attend, I'm sure it would be helpful, kind of as an overview or a preview. But it
kind
is mostly
stepping in the shallow end of the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is mostly intended for high school students. There are workshops geared specifically for each grade level, and over 10 different workshops that will be held at the College and Career Expo. So
this sounds like it's more of a mini convention, if you will. Rather than just displays and, you know, a bunch of tables and people standing there smiling.
Absolutely.
Wearing their college polo shirt.
A lot of opportunity for conversation, to ask questions, to attend workshops. There's even a workshop on study strategies for the SAT and ACT. But really an opportunity to talk to reps about a lot of the questions that you were just referencing.
Boy, have things come a long way. You even said ACT. I know things have changed in the last 15 or 20 years, but even mentioning it, ACT is a pretty good indicator of that. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We will be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:46. Final couple minutes of this morning's program, Elisa Palachek and Heidi Moore from County Office of Ed. Now, we've talked a little bit about the expo. You've said a couple of times it's on the 21st, but you haven't said where. But I can kind of speculate. There's a big new building in the middle of Eureka.
So it's at the Eureka High School, and it will be held in the gymnasium there.
Okay, a really big new building that's going to be located in the middle of Eureka. Hi, Fred.
Yeah, we're excited to partner again with Eureka High. They have a great facility, and it really accommodates our needs.
Financial aid is a big challenge. There's confidential information. There is trepidation. There is all kinds of stuff around financial aid. Is there major focus about financial aid in this, how to go through it, to get people to normalize, to relax about the finances? If you want to go to school, money may not be a problem.
Absolutely. So again, it's going to be an explicit focus of the College and Career Expo, where students and families can become aware of the variety of financial aid opportunities. They'll learn about the FAFSA, which is the free application for federal financial aid. They'll learn about what state aid might be available, how to access scholarships, etc. And a really exciting opportunity the day after the College and Career Expo is that the CalSOAP program is offering a counselor's workshop on financial aid. And this is geared towards any counselor, anybody that provides student support services to high school age students, and any college access program staff. And that is going to be in the beautiful new building in the middle of town, the Sequoia Conference Center on September 22nd.
Walking distance for some of the people.
Walking distance for a couple of us. And it's an all-day workshop. And essentially, it's designed to make sure that those providing support for our local students are giving them the most accurate, up-to-date access to information and resources possible.
Is the event for students at Del Norte and Humboldt and Mendocino and anybody who kind of wanders through the door can take advantage of it?
College and Career Expo is absolutely, we cast a wide net, and we do get students from all the way down from Fort Bragg. We bus students in from Crescent City. Sometimes we have students, we certainly invite them from Trinity, though with the fires, it might be a little difficult this time around. But like I said, we have grown in our attendance over the last several years from about 800 students and family members to almost standing room only at over 1,200. So it's very, very exciting. It's the only college and career expo on the North Coast, north of Santa Rosa. And we are excited. It's going to be a great, great time, really informative. And we encourage every high school student and their family members or others that are interested to come join us Thursday, September 21st, Eureka High from 5:30 to 8 o'clock.
You're going to stuff that all in 2.5 hours?
We will.
Oh.
It's very efficient.
I thought it was an all-dayer. Well, okay. Shh, don't tell your teachers. Thanks for coming by, ladies.
Thank you so much.
See everybody tomorrow.